strange that CL specialty is very, very fresh. It is actually an ice drink made from coconut milk combined with sugar and quenny mango. As Laksamana Mengamuk is often seen during weddings and in the fasting month. When the weather is scorching hot, drinking it will make you feel refreshed. It is said that this typical Riau beverage is not only very refreshing, but also good for digestion. The high fiber content of quenny fruit can prevent constipation and other digestive disorders. Vitamin A contained in it is also good for your eyes and endurance. Quenny fruit is also able to meet daily iron needs.
Of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Climate change is a global challenge, and investment plays a crucial role in creating sustainable solutions. In our special program, for a talk, we will discuss the Investment Climate Fund with Agus Sari from UNEP. Stay with us as well as we dive into how investment can help shape a greener future.
pastikan datang. Penuh hati ku menanti kita bersama dalam sebuah cerita. Sekian lama terpisah samudra meluap. Datangkan cinta kita. Cinta kita. Oh yeah. Di sini sendiri kuatkan hati untuk bertahan. Mengatakan cinta kita.
Its own investment fund for the climate change intends to reduce the carbon emission in the world. And to talk about this here today with me, Bapak Agus Sari. He is the CEO of Landscape Indonesia. How are you, Pak Agus Sari?
I'm very, very well. Thank you, Bapak Ne. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, as we know, Pak Agus, that the world is facing a climate crisis on what we call the climate change, and then we are the population of the world are responsible to work on this. As the CEO of the Landscape Indonesia, Pak Agus, what are do you think the main objectives of the UN Investment Fund for Climate Change, and how are these aligned with the broader goals of the United Nations Climate Change Agenda, including here we in Indonesia, Pak Agus Sari?
Yes, thank you, Bapak Ne. Hello, everybody. The United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, which is the main agreement for the world to address the climate crisis, has the objective of keeping the changes in the climate due to our activities to the level that is safe for the atmosphere to support lives. And UNFCCC also has a, you know, other agreements. You know, the current one is the Paris Agreement, which has the objectives of keeping the warming of the Earth well below 2 degrees Celsius above the pre-industrial level, which is about the mid-19th century. And, you know, to work its best to keep it below 1.5 degrees. And as we know, that we have already reached 1.7 last year. January was the hottest January ever, with a temperature of about 1.75 degrees Celsius, and we have actually reached a temperature of above 1.5 in the past 12-13 months. Mm-hmm. So basically the objective of the UNFCCC and the Paris Agreement is to keep us alive, more or less, yeah?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So that's it. We are still alive. Okay, well, sorry. Yes, as you mentioned, Bagus, that Indonesia also is a signatory to the Paris Agreement, and we, Indonesia, committing to reducing the global greenhouse gas emission by 29% by 2030. What is the fund's primary focus in Indonesia, the UNFCCC, in terms of climate change? Is it focused on renewable energy, deforestation, or sustainable agriculture, or are there climate-related issues, Pak Agustari?
Yes. Well, the UNFCCC and Paris Agreement actually have two components. Yeah. The first one is what is called adaptation to climate change. Climate change is happening no matter what we are doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are some irreversible impacts. As you have probably noticed, that we have, you know, 3 months of very, very intense rain.
Yes.
Yesterday, Puncak, which is probably, you know, unheard of before, apologize for my cat. My cat is insisting in joining our Zoom. But anyway, you know, Puncak suffers a very severe flood yesterday. So that's also one of the concerns of the world, that, you know, we have been attacked by the severe crisis. Mm. Now, Indonesia's target has been embodied in what is called nationally determined contribution. And the target is to reduce emissions by 32% now, but not anymore 29%.
32%.
One is 32% with our own resources, and 43% with international cooperation. The largest sector to which emissions will be reduced is the land use sector. Mm. We have a very, very bold and ambitious target of achieving what is called a net sink by 2030, which means that emissions in the land use sector will be negative by 2030. It's about negative 140 million tons, which basically means that our forest is expected to absorb more emissions than it emits. Yeah, in the land use sector, and that basically means that it provides room for other sectors to have a little bit of emissions.
Okay.
Now the second largest emitter is the energy sector, and that is because our energy sector is heavily carbon intensive. Mm-hmm. We still have about 2/3 of our electricity produced using coal, which is the dirtiest of all.
Yes.
And as such, we have very, very high emissions in the energy sector. Actually, our emissions are mostly dominated by the energy sector, but it is the forest forestry and other land uses sectors that would probably have the highest ambition to reduce. At the same time, we do have an ambition to reach net zero. That our emissions are at the same level or less than our ability to absorb by 2060 or earlier. And that is also a bold ambition, but that's consistent with basically the findings of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change in 2022, that we need to achieve net zero globally by about 2050. So some would have 2040, some would have 2050, some would have 2060 as their target year.
Okay, as you mentioned, Pa Agus, that net zero in 2060 or 2060 is a bold ambition. So what about the move, the increase from 29% to 32% in 2030, since, as you mentioned also, that we still use two-thirds of our energy by coal, and then we have, you know, vehicles on the roads which mostly use the fossil, and then also we deforestation is still on place. So what do you say?
Well, I'm a little bit more optimistic about the forest and other land uses. I think we are on track in achieving the net sink target. We have some concerning trends in the past couple of years that, you know, the rate of deforestation has increased slightly in the past couple of years, and that might actually disrupt our track to net sink by 2030. I'm a lot more concerned about, as you mentioned, Papane, the energy sector, because our energy sector is very, very carbon intensive. One of many ways for us to do that is the just energy transition, which is probably shown by the JETP program, the Just Energy Transition Partnership, which was launched at the G20 in Bali in 2021, in which that the program was to be mobilizing financing to the tune of about $20 billion. And that was the largest ever climate deal given to one country. No other country has been pledged that much money for energy transition investment. One of the flagship program in JETP is what is called early retirement of coal power plants.
Okay.
So basically our coal power plants would be retired earlier than they would be in its natural trajectory, so that to avoid future emissions. That's basically the big program now that I'm hoping to be successful for us to be able to achieve our targets.
Yes, Agus, as you mentioned that we have the flag in the G20 in Bali in 2021 on energy transition. So how much do you think all those countries who have the flag at the time doing are working on their track?
Well, I've seen a mix, performances when it comes to fulfilling this major and ambitious program, which is called JetP, $20 billion is a lot.
Yes.
And with the U.S., you know, moving out or exiting the Paris Agreement and exiting from JetP,
yeah,
of course, there's a major blow into the capacity to finance the entire $20 billion. Luckily, the European Union comes in to replace the U.S. Now the JetP is co-led by Japan and Germany. It used to be co-led by Japan and the U.S. But you know, structuring financing to the tune of $20 billion is complex. So I would not expect it to be, you know, to happen very quickly. It is delayed, but you know, it's naturally delayed, I would say, because of the, you know, the amount of money that's involved. But already JetP has managed to finance a couple of renewable energy programs, right? Especially geothermal. So it's a slow process, I would say, and it's slower than expected, or I would say slower as expected, because a lot of people are not expecting anything.
After 2030, August?
Up to 2030, yes. Yes. So we do have a, you know, a regulation now that we can only build coal power plants until 2030. Beyond 2030, we will not be allowed to build any more new coal power plants, which means that we are going to reach our peak by 2030, and then by 2060, we will have zero coal-fired power plants. That's basically the plan under JetP.
Okay. And we are, Indonesia, I mean, the Indonesian government's policy are on track to reach this?
I would say there are a lot of temptations to not achieve that target. Because early retirement of coal power plants is expensive.
Yes.
One calculation shows that for a typical coal power plant in Indonesia at about, you know, 1 gigawatt hours,
mm-hmm,
1 gigawatt coal fired power plants retired 5 years early, that would reduce the NPV of the power plant by $70 million.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, retiring power plant early is a losing business.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a profitable business, and that's because, you know, in the 5 years of the coal power plant being retired early, we lose the potential income, right?
Yes.
So it's very difficult to finance a losing business using loan and equity. No investors would be crazy enough to invest in a business that is certainly losing. Yeah, so we need to find innovative ways to finance early retirement of our coal power plants beyond commercial investments that are, you know, readily available right now. That's basically the reason that there is strong temptation to just, you know, abandon the earlier retirement program.
Yes.
As you have heard, our Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources says that we have a lot of coal. Why shouldn't we use all of it?
Yes.
You know, my response to the minister basically says that the Stone Age didn't stop because we ran out of stone. So coal age shouldn't stop because we ran out of coal. We should stop because there's better technology, yes. Cleaner technology, cheaper technology.
Yes, we have target for that.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Yes, Pak Agustari, this is not only the task, the responsibility of the government, of course, but there should be the involvement of private sectors or NGOs. So how do you access the UN Investment Fund for Climate Change approach, partnerships, say, with the NGO, communities, local business, or other investment funds?
Yeah, I've been lucky to have been involved in putting together a proposal for the government to the Green Climate Fund, which is the fund managed under the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. It's a large fund. It's basically $100 billion fund, which is sizable. What I found in my experience is that it is so complex in getting access to that fund. The whole process would probably easily take about 5 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't know what is happening in the next 5 years. And we don't even know who our president is going to be in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
We don't know whether the program is still relevant in the next 5 years. So that's what is going on with the UN fund. First is that it is, I would say, severely insufficient. Second is, even with the existing resources that it is already managing, the way to access it is a bit more complex than most countries would be able to manage. Yeah. There's a lot of assessment that the world would need $1.3 billion of fund per year.
Yes.
And the fund under the UNFCCC is way below it. Yeah. It's about $100 billion right now, or even less than $100 billion. The pledge was to reach $100 billion per year, but it's not even close to it. And the current agreement is to achieve $300 billion by 2035. 2035 is still 10 years from now, and we shouldn't even take a pledge that long, that seriously. So we are severely underfunded and severely badly managed, I would say.
Okay. Agustari, as you mentioned, you are directly involved on this, and then I believe that Landscape Indonesia that you lead also work on this. That, so do you have a successful story? I want to hear something on the successful story on the already we reach in terms of the UN investment funds for climate change here in Indonesia.
Yes. Before Paris Agreement, we have Kyoto Protocol, and we have a number of ways for the developed countries transferring money, transferring funds and resources to developing countries. One of which is through carbon market. And if we're talking about resource transfer in terms of grants, and compare it with resource transfer through carbon market, I would say that carbon market far exceeds the amount of grants. So unfortunately, carbon market mechanism under the Paris Agreement only got approved last year by the UNFCCC. So the mechanism has just been developed, And it has not been, executed fully. But I still have high hopes that when it is executed fully, we will be able to find sufficient resources to finance our decarbonization, initiatives. Mm. The early retirement for our coal power plants, for example, could be financed partly or even mostly by carbon market.
Okay. Agus, it seems that we are coming to the end of this interview, but would you make a closing statement on this regarding the UN investment funds for climate change, and especially what we are going doing here in Indonesia, Pak Agus Sari?
Yes. First is that we should take the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change and other climate agreements seriously. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't even be disturbed by the news that the U.S. Has left the agreement.
Yes.
I think we should be able to do whatever we should need to do without the U.S. The second is that we need to be innovative in finding resources to finance our decarbonization, and I believe that we have our own resources domestically in Indonesia, especially since renewables are already competitive in terms of cost against coal and other fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to focus on deploying more renewables in Indonesia. And third, of course, we need to find ways to manage the impacts of climate change that we have already felt today.
Mm-hmm.
And it will eventually disrupt our our food security, our energy security, and many other sectors. So we need to pay careful attention to the impact as well.
Okay.
Thank you
very much, Pak Agus Sari. This is very interesting conversation, but we have a very limited time. Maybe we will discuss this, talk about this more and more later in another time. Once again, thank you very much, Pak Agus Sari, for your time.
Thank you. Have a good morning.
Bye. Thank you. Well, listeners and viewers of Voice of Indonesia, that was my very interesting conversation with Dr. Agus Sari, the CEO of Landscape Indonesia, regarding the UN Investment Funds for Climate Change. And I'm Dalat Pane. See you next time.
Suara hati yang berbeda. New Year's Eve, 2019, New South Wales, Australia.
If you're in no-go or surrounding coastal areas, you're at risk. Leaving now is the safest option, so leave now towards the beach and shelter in place.
Oh my god, my neighbor's house. Okay. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Last December, Australia recorded temperatures above 47 degrees. And in January, bushfires caused tens of thousands to flee from their homes.
This is a real nightmare. I can't believe this is real. I can't see anything. This is literally not real. This is not real. Oh my freaking God. We just have to get down this road to the beach.
Nearly 3 billion animals were killed or displaced in these fires.
All I want is my family. All I want is to be safe.
Pictures and stories continue to file out from Australia.
The last decade was the hottest decade on record.
Overnight, another onslaught from an ever-expanding inferno.
Extreme weather displaces over 20 million people a year. And just this year, we've seen Siberian fires and catastrophic flooding in Jakarta in February.
Rising death toll and massive evacuation in Indonesia.
Devastating swarms of locusts in East Africa in April. Cyclone Amphar in eastern India and Bangladesh in May.
It could be the worst the area has seen in 20 years.
Over 400 wildfires in Alaska. And in August, more wildfires on America's Pacific coast.
Well, the fires raging in Northern California have now become some of the largest in state history.
Climate change is man-made, and the main driver is CO2 pollution from burning fossil fuels. Global temperatures continue to rise. But something else is on the rise. Climate protests all around the world. From London to Australia. New Zealand. Uganda.
Climate change is here now, and it is killing people right now. The people who are looking at it right in the face.
Tokyo. India. Cristiana Figueres was the lead negotiator for the Paris Climate Agreement in 2015.
The next 8 to 10 years is going to determine the quality of life for the next 100 to 200 years, if not longer. That's the race that we're in.
We all watched with amazement when exactly 1 year ago, young people from all over the world took to the streets to express their feeling that we're not doing enough about climate change.
That we're not treating it like the emergency it is.
Actor Don Cheadle is a goodwill ambassador for the UN Environment Program.
It's a year later now. Have we done enough? No, we have not. And climate change is only part of this story. Our rainforests are disappearing at an extraordinary rate. One football field of rainforest is destroyed every 6 seconds. 1 million plant and animal species are on the brink of extinction.
Listener, by 2050, today's music honor presents a traditional song from West Java.
And so climate change and our treatment of the natural world are colliding and exacerbating each other to create a perfect storm. This cannot go on. You know it. I know it, and we know what we need to do.
In 2015, the UN announced 17 Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs, a blueprint to achieve a better and more sustainable future for all. We need to follow these goals to ensure that we are the last generation to be threatened by climate change. These are the solutions.
We need to reduce global emissions by 50% by 2030. To do this, we need a rapid but just transition to renewable energy. That means an end to the building of new coal power stations and an end to subsidizing of fossil fuels. Governments should also shift the tax burden from payrolls to carbon. Taxing carbon rather than people will increase output and employment while reducing emissions. And we need to stop deforestation in its tracks, planting trees instead of chopping them down. We need to think about what we eat and how we produce food. embracing healthy, nutritious diets, sustainable farming methods, and reducing food waste. The climate crisis is an opportunity. Renewable energy is cheaper than fossil fuels. Thousands of businesses are working to go carbon neutral, and the opportunity to generate clean, safe, and decent jobs is enormous. The passion for protest can turn into a passion for changing all of our behavior to create a better, safer, just, sustainable world.
Listener, West Sumatra is famous for its savory and tasty culinary. West Sumatra foods are rich in spices. Besides savory culinary, West Sumatra also has delicious desserts, one of which is Bika cake. Bika stands from biskuit koto baru asli, or new original koto biskuit. The biskuit is the traditional snack of Koto Baru city in West Sumatra. Sometimes the cake is also known with the name Kue Naraka Rasa Surga, which means the cake that looks like hell, but it tastes heavenly delicious. After preparing the batter of the cake, which is made from flour, coconut water, and sugar, the second step of making the cake is by pouring the batter to a pot. Before pouring the cake into the pot, we have to lay banana leaves and teak wood. The batter is baked by using firewood came from cinnamon trees. If you want to try Bika cake, you can buy it in Padang Raya Street, Bukit Tinggi. The price of the cake is affordable, namely it only costs 7,000 rupiah. You can also enjoy the cake with a cup of coffee.
presents a traditional song from West Java entitled Bubuy Bulan. This Sundanese song is not only popular in its home region of West Java, but also in various occasions such as weddings. The song is often played. In the 1950s, musician and songwriter Benny Chorda created the song Bubuy Bulan. It was later popularized by Benny Chorda's wife, Nina Kirana. In 1980s, Nining Meida again popularized the song. The song itself describes the feelings of a woman who falls in love with a man she sees every day. But for some people, this song has a deep religious meaning. Well, listener, let's enjoy the traditional song from West Java, Bubuy Bulan by Fikis Yanipar featuring Desi Puspitasari. Enjoy!
Bubuy bulan, bubuy bulan sang raja.
What is this food?
This delight is hunted at hot afternoon or before breaking the fast.
Newsline. The Indonesian government is set to formulate either a presidential instruction or a presidential regulation to clearly define the role of each institution involved in the execution of the Free Nutritious Meals or MBG program. Speaking at a press conference after a limited cross-ministerial meeting at his office in Jakarta on Monday, Coordinating Minister for Food Zulkifli Hasan emphasized that such a regulation is necessary to prevent overlap among ministries, agencies, and other state institutions in implementing the program. The Indonesian government has assured that the Free Nutritious Meals or MBG program will continue to run during Ramadan, with adjustments made for school breaks based on a joint circular issued by three ministries. Response of the Presidential Communication Office, Dede Prayudi, said on Monday that the distribution of free meals to students will be suspended during the school's break period, namely from February 27 to March 5, 2025, and will be resumed on March 6. That was Newsline.
Sudah terlalu lama sendiri, sudah terlalu lama aku asik sendiri. Lama tak ada yang menemani rasanya. Pagi ke malam hari tak pernah terlintas di hati. Bahkan di saat sendiri aku tak pernah merasa sepi. Sampai akhirnya ku sadari, aku tak bisa terus begini. Aku harus berusaha, tapi mulai dari mana? Sudah terlalu lama sendiri, terlalu lama aku asik sendiri. Lama tak ada yang menemani rasanya. sudah terlalu asik sendiri, sudah terlalu asik dengan duniaku sendiri. Lama tak ada yang menemani rasanya. Teman-temanku berkata yang kau cari seperti apa. Ku hanya bisa tertawa, nanti pasti ada waktunya. Oh, walau jauh di lubuk hati, aku tak ingin terus begini. Aku harus berusaha, tapi mulai dari mana? Sudah terlalu lama sendiri, lama aku asik sendiri. Lama tak ada yang menemani rasanya. Sudah terlalu asik sendiri, sudah terlalu asik dengan duniaku sendiri. Lama tak ada yang menemani. Bukan tanpa nyali, sadar aku begini. Apa yang di depan mata tak seperti yang engkau kira. Oh, bahwa sesungguhnya pintu hati menunggu terima.